on, Bears fans. Another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. And on today's episode, we got a very special guest to try and make heads or tails of what Ryan Poles has going on. J-Mac coming through with the teammates. Who we got today, J-Mac?
Yeah, we got a special guest, one of my favorite teammates, a former third-round pick of your Chicago Bears, but he also played for that team in Minnesota, the Minnesota Vikings. Made a lot of big plays for us with the Bears. He's so nice, we named him twice, B-Twice. Bernard Berrien, welcome to the show, baby.
Chicago Land, what's going on? J-Mac, Pat, how you guys doing? Appreciate you guys having me on the show. Let's get into it.
Hey, I love it. I told him, I'm like, he got the blazer going, got the sunlight hitting him. Life is treating him good out there. How things been going for you, dog?
I'm doing well, actually. I actually just got off an appointment. I've been working right now, a couple restaurant appointments, trying to get a new POS system and some financial appointments. So that's the reason why I'm really dressed like this. I got to look the part, play the part.
Yeah, hey, let's talk about that, B-Twice. So that was my first question for you. Life after football, I know you were a guy who was a, you know, even when we played, you're always doing some things in terms of business and entrepreneurship. So what's going on with life after football for you right now?
Well, right now, I've been enjoying retirement. Retirement been 14 years. So I wanted my life to be that way. I wanted to come out and spend time with my kids. But now I'm in a situation where they're a little bit older and they can handle things a little bit more on their own, a little bit more mature. So now I can get out and start to do and help other people and do things that I kind of want to do and have dreams about. So one of the biggest things I always dreamt about was financial literacy and financial education and teaching our own and teaching the community about that and really letting them know the importance of financial planning. And that's where I've been. I've been helping people now for the last 2 years. I've been doing that, financial literacy, estate planning, will planning, life insurance, investments, getting people access to investments. That's what I've been doing the last 2 years, and it's been really great. It's been really, really fun, actually.
I love that. Love that. Is there any aspects of the game that you've taken into kind of this life after football? I always ask that because it seems like there's always that competitive part of you guys that never really goes away. I know how that insurance game sometimes goes. Is there a little bit of that coming over into that a little bit?
Oh, that competitive switch never turns off. It's fun. We actually, the business, how we run the business, we kind of have competitions within ourselves in our own little community, within our own agency and things of that nature. But it's the same characteristics, the same attributes that it took to play football and make it at a professional level in the football. In football, it's the same thing we do in business. The teamwork, being able to handle teamwork, different attitudes, different personalities, and bringing them in and all in a common goal. It's the same thing we do on sport level. And it's just made it that much easier being able to transition into business because of being an athlete.
Yeah, B-Twice, let's talk about free agency. You know, we're right in the middle of free agency right now. Guys will be signing left and right. You were a part of free agent frenzy a while back. You made the transition from the Bears. You got signed by the Minnesota Vikings. Talk about how that process went down. You know, what went into it? Was it stressful? And, you know, what really made you, you know, leave the Bears and go play for the Vikings? Like, talk about the whole process.
It's definitely nerve-wracking. Usually most players, for the most part, kind of want to stay with the team that kind of brought them in. Unless it's just a total disaster. For me, I really wanted to stay in Chicago. It just didn't work out that way. As far as the contract negotiations, I mean, everything was laid out. It was pretty much cut and dry. It was just, you know, we were just on a different level and too far apart. But I think for players that are going through it now, it's a different time. It's that we're in the money that's being thrown out that way. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So the positions that players are getting are being put in are phenomenal right now. And I'm happy for every player that's going out there getting whatever they got coming for them. I mean, because we all know you got to put the work in, be able to and earn that check and earn those contracts.
Speak to that. How hard is it to separate the business from the emotion in that situation? We saw Jalen Johnson possibly almost get put in that position where he may have had to leave the team that brought him in because they weren't valuing him at the same level that he was at. How do you kind of, okay, this is the team that brought me in. We're taught to have this loyalty as people for people that give you that kind of break, but also, hey, business is business. I've had a great season. I know where my value is at.
It is kind of difficult at times to separate the two, but we kind of know coming in and speaking unto the other veterans that are on the team and kind of helping you out and putting you in situations and giving you knowledge that's going to help you and get through those difficult times. Cause it is it is hard. It is kind of hard to separate the two because you really love to play this game, and the love kind of gets subsided by the business aspect of it sometimes, especially when you're getting around free agency and it comes time to negotiate contracts. So, I mean, the best advice I give people is to go in with a level head and think about all your options, weigh out everything you can possibly weigh out. It's just like being recruited again all over in college again. So just weigh out all your options and make the best, most smart decision for you and your family.
Yeah, Bernard, you played at Fresno State. You're one of the Bulldogs' all-time greats. You know, we just had Jalen Johnson from the Fresno area just signed a big deal. Xavier Worthy from the Fresno area just broke the combine record. And our former teammate and friend Ricky Manning just signed on to be the defensive back coach for the Las Vegas Raiders. Yes. So what makes Fresno, the area, so, you know, so popular, man? A lot of guys come out there and make it to the league from the area. What makes Fresno, the area, so special?
Well, we usually talk, it's not just Fresno. It's really what we like to call the Central Valley. It's an area that kind of runs between Bakersfield and like San Joaquin, Sacramento area, all the way up and through there. So there's not really too many colleges, or at least big colleges, throughout that area. So there is a lot of talent. California is a huge state, so there's a lot of talent out here. And the Central Valley is loaded with kids with a lot of talent. And we kind of get overlooked, being not Cal or Stanford or UCLA or USC. We kind of get overlooked at times. And we're getting in positions now. I think it kind of started with Sweeney area, then the Pat Herrera area I was involved in. We were starting putting a lot more players out. And we were starting to get a little bit more notoriety and getting noticed. And the players we were putting out there were actually doing things and making plays. Like, we got Devontae Adams as well. Derek Carr is as well, too. So it's just a matter of fact of getting out there and putting Fresno State on the map and putting Fresno players out there, going out there and making plays when they get the opportunities to go out there and make those plays.
Definitely adding some dogs into the league, man, consistently. Like, it is funny because, like, the big schools from that area get all of the love and stuff like that. And then, like wait a minute, like, they keep putting people in great positions to go out there and be in the league and be elite. Yeah, focus in on Fresno out here, man.
Yeah,
Let me ask you this, because this is the question that every Bears fan is going to want to know with you being on the show. It's the biggest topic in football, biggest topic in sports probably right now.
Jay Fields.
Yeah, right now. Well, yeah, right now. You Jay Fields. You're not Caleb Williams. You're Justin Fields.
I'm not Caleb Williams, actually, to be honest with you. I'm not. I don't know what it is, but there's something that I feel I know he's a talented guy. I know he can make all the throws, but there's something I feel that is missing with me. I don't know what it is. I can't put a name on it. I can't identify it, but it's some it factor that I feel is missing from him. And we've put so much into, I don't want to even say we put so much into Justin, but I feel like these last couple of years, he kind of did a better job of putting effort into Justin and trying to make him be the quarterback, the franchise quarterback that we're all looking to be. And he's gone out there and made done the best of his ability, I think, that he possibly could. Obviously, yeah, is there a learning curve that comes with it? Yeah, there is. And we expect, okay, this third, fourth year, we expect that learning kind of be past that learning curve, and you got to kind of want to see production and movement. Okay, is this our franchise quarterback? But if the situation he's been into, he's had offensive coordinator and head coach after offensive coordinator and head coach. So it's kind of hard to really evaluate a player at that when you're coming in. You got to learn new systems again. You got same players, a little kind of fairly the same players, but you're still learning a new system. And he's a young player at the same time. So it's a lot that was put on his shoulders for what he did and for what was put on his shoulders. He's still an uber talented kid. He led the team to wins, a lot of wins that shouldn't have happened. Kept us in games, a lot of games that didn't look like we're going to be really close. So he's done a phenomenal job. And if we're the way we got all these picks right now, it's go get some picks. If you got to trade down, go get some picks and really help him out and support him. If you want him to be your franchise quarterback, let's go do it and make him and act as if he is your franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I want to talk about the receiver position. You know, something you excelled at here in Chicago, you know, during your time here. Different type of environment to play in if you're a receiver. You know, coming here, playing in the elements of Chicago, playing in the wind. Talk about, you know, DJ Moore had a great year last year. But before that, you know, we hadn't had a bona fide, you know, star receiver, you know, until Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. And then they left. And then it was kind of, you know, dormant from then on. But talk about what it's like playing receiver, you know, down there at Soldier Field and here in Chicago.
Them cold areas, it's no joke being a receiver playing out there, because everything is the extremities. So in them cold games, you know, once the extremities get cold, them toes and them fingers get cold, it's pretty much a wrap after that. Everything else is shut down. So if you're able to keep your fingers and toes good, you're pretty much you're good to go. The ball is a little bit tricky sometimes because the ball feels like a freaking bowling ball. It's a rock coming at you. It's an ice ball coming at you.
Well, Tom Brady told us how to fix that. You know what I mean? Dude, I'll figure that out. Yeah, man, just
let it out a little bit. Let a little bit air out. But other than that, I mean, the ground, I love, actually, I kind of, but before being a California kid playing at Fresno State, we're playing in 100 degrees, 90 degrees. At the coldest, it might be 50. So it's football weather. It's nice. You're loving it. So it doesn't, you don't really feel the weather. But when you're coming from California to Chicago or Minnesota, where it is cold like that, you're thinking, what the hell am I got myself into? I'm not going to be able to move. I'm not going to be able to function. I'm not going to do this. But, you know, we got to Chicago and they had a mentality there, and it's a mentality that we adopted on the offensive side, no sleeves. And you kind of just, you know, you nutted up and sacked up and then you rocked with it. You just played with it. So you adjust to it, and then now all of a sudden you get adjusted to it. Now it's an advantage to you, and I love playing at Chicago. I love being outdoors. I didn't want a dome. I like being outdoors in the elements and playing in that stadium, Soldier Field. It was electric. I love the stands, the crowd, the fans cheering. I mean, when we made plays, it erupted in there, so it was a great time.
How as the number one receiver, as the star receiver on a team, do you help your quarterback's life be easier? We saw DJ Moore really do that a ton last year, but like no matter what decision the Bears make at quarterback, DJ Moore is tasked with making their life easier. How do you kind of do that from a receiver standpoint, especially when, I mean, y'all team kind of dealt with a lot of the similar stuff that Justin has gone through. The offensive line wasn't always there. Yeah, I mean, there's some dogs up there. No disrespect. Don't you send Olin after me, J-Mac. Don't you send Olin after me. But it's, you know.
But really, it's really communication. That's the biggest key, is you really got to talk about, no matter where it's at, when you're coming back down, especially at practice, we're talking about things. Or when we come through, we're going through and we're watching the film together, we're talking about things. And you got to talk. You got to watch it together. Because now we're seeing it in time, what that pressure is looking like, what the quarterback has to do and what he's seeing, and how quickly he's got to get the ball out of his hand. Now receiver gets a chance to see, okay, this is going on with the quarterback and his progression. Well, let me get out here. Now I can either adjust my route, wherever the DB is at, make it a little bit, snap it off a little bit quicker, because now I know he's getting a little bit more pressure. But those are the type of conversations you got to have. And it's just really about communication. And really, to be honest with you, number one receiver is how he's supposed to help the ball out of his quarterback is no matter what ball is coming, is he's going to make that play. He's going to give that quarterback a chance. It's always going to be a chance before being a reception, no matter what's going to happen. Usually when you're going to your number one receiver, there's really no chance of it getting intercepted. If it's not complete, it's definitely not going to be an interception.
Yeah, B2Y, since we're talking quarterbacks, you know, I got a fun question for you. A lot of Chicago Bears fans, they always ask me, how many quarterbacks did you see in the huddle during your time in Chicago? I know you were here in Chicago, then you had the opportunity to go to Minnesota. So let's talk about the quarterbacks you've been in the huddle with here in Chicago compared to the number of quarterbacks you were in the huddle with up there in Minnesota.
Man, this is a number. God, boy. Let me see. We got goodness gracious. Jeff Blake, yep. Rex,
yep.
Kyle. Gosh, what was his name?
Craig Krenzel. Did you get
Craig? Yeah, Craig. Craig was my class. Came in with Craig. Yep. I'm thinking another. So he was someone else that was there. Oh, Hutchinson.
Yeah, Chad.
Chad Hutchinson. And then goodness gracious, who else do we have?
Was JT O'Sullivan was here with you too? Remember,
yep, he was on. JT O'Sullivan was here. JT O'Sullivan. I want to say there's probably like four or five more at least that were here during that time. So it's probably like 12, 11.
They wasn't here long enough for you to remember.
See, yeah.
Yeah, Jonathan Quinn.
That's who I was trying to remember. Jonathan Quinn.
Yeah, that's Thomas Jones' favorite quarterback. He loves Jonathan Quinn, man.
Pretty said, hike, handoff.
I was gonna say he handed the ball off with the best of them. What Justin Fields say? I handed that football off good to the mud, boy.
Oh man. But same deal in Minnesota. It was quarterback after quarterback after quarterback. Went through Brett Favre, Tavares Jackson, Christian Ponder, Donovan McNabb. Gosh, who else was there? Brooks Bollinger.
Is Joe Webb there? Okay.
Joe Webb was there too for a little bit. So it was quarterback carousel pretty much on both, and they all took snaps. Every single name they all took snaps. We were in the huddle with too. So I mean,
how do you adjust to that, man? How do you adjust to just because the funny thing is, right? We always talk about. Right, last year we talked about how Bajan threw the ball different than Justin. And you could tell in the first game, the ball was coming off different than the receivers were used to seeing. Sure. How do you adjust to just so many different guys coming in and seeing the ball differently off of each guy's hand?
Well, usually for me, it's adjusting to guys that have a little weaker arm as opposed to going from a weaker to a stronger. I like going from a stronger arm to a weaker arm. It's a little bit easier to adjust because now you're not used to catching like a nice, soft, easy ball. You've been used to catching hard rocks coming at you, 100. So when a quarterback that comes with a little bit weaker arm, it's a little bit easier. It's always going to be a little bit softer while a lot of bit more favorable for a receiver. But as far as how they throw the ball and where they throw the ball, the timing of when they throw the ball, that is definitely hard to get used to, you know, during the offseason at most some of the times, because where I was at, you know, the switches were being made fairly quickly. It wasn't, you know, 2 years, 3 years of being with those quarterbacks. They were made fairly quickly. So it was just boom, you got to start your adjustment now. And then, you know, you try to take advantage as much as possible in practice working with those guys. So they do get a rotation going in. But sometimes some of the guys you don't really get a chance to see at all. So it's just really staying in and really being a professional, like I said, and going in and communicating, probably just getting some more, really actually some overtime with the guys so you make sure you stay in sync.
Yeah, Beachwise, another fun question for you. So people always ask me, who would win in a foot race? They always bring up Devin. They bring up Johnny. And then I say, wait a minute. You're forgetting about a guy, Bernard Berrien. So
yes, sir.
Three-minute race, you guys are lining up. 40-yard dash. Who wins that race?
I was gonna say me until you brought up Johnny. Yeah, Johnny Knox. Johnny Knox got that. I think Johnny. Yeah, I think Johnny.
Johnny was special, man. Like he was a tough dog, bro. Like literally, like that's funny though, because like I guess I wouldn't have put you in there, but when you think about the speed that you did have, how you got off the line and things like that, like. Your name does make sense as far as Bears wide receivers being able to just take the top off.
Oh, no, yeah, definitely. That was my thing ever since young kid. My talent, be honest with you, was actually really tracking the ball. Obviously, I had the speed, but it was really tracking the ball. Like, as soon as the quarterback let it go, I pretty much knew my geometry was on point. I pretty much knew exactly where it was going to land at. So I could put my head down, put the burners on, and really go get the ball if I needed to.
So when these 40-yard dashes happen, and we see who was Xavier Worthy, right? I think that's his name, ends up breaking the record 4-2-1. But usually when you see those times, they're attached to dudes that you look at their highlights and go like, all right, he returning kickoffs at this level. He not catching footballs. How do you kind of like pair the speed up and not just utilize the speed overly, right? I still have to work on the hands, the footwork, everything else that makes you a great wide receiver, because there's so many dudes that come in with the speed, and it's like, I'm fasting them up. I thought Tavon Austin was going to be the greatest wide receiver we'd ever seen. And I was wrong.
But it's everything that's involved. Luck sometimes, where you're drafted at, who you're drafted to, what offense you're drafted into, what coordinator's there, what head coach is there, like what's their philosophy? Are they offensive philosophy? Are they defensive philosophy? Like all those things matter. But as far as those things are all outside of your control. Now, what things you can control is So like we're talking about working on the speed, or do I overly use the speed? If that's what you've been good at from day one, and that's what got you there, like that's what you need to stay. Make sure you keep that and you utilize that, because you've utilized that your whole career to give you that advantage. So make sure you stay working on that. It's just now you got to work on all the other parts of your game to make sure that it matches up with the speed. I got to make sure I'm catching my balls daily, getting whatever. Because being a receiver in the league, you're not catching 50 balls a day. Balls getting spread around. So you got to make sure you're getting your balls every single day to make sure your hands stay on point. And just working on your speed, you got to work on your speed. Like I said, for like guys like Worthy, Xavier Worthy, he's small. He's light, like 163, 165 pounds, right? Everyone thinks, well, you know, you're going to get bigger. Make sure you don't lose any speed. Situations like that, I don't really see him losing any speed the bigger he gets. All I see really, if you see, honestly, is him getting more explosive the bigger he gets. Because it's not like he's putting on fat weight or anything. He's going to put on weight around his hips and get more power in his legs. So he's only going to get more explosive. And then just with that, he's just going to be out to make sure he's able to harness that when he's come time to run routes. Because now it's not going to just be always go ball. They might use him as a special type of weapon. I know early on, I definitely would, for sure. Because that speed, 4.21, that's amazing. You can't teach that in speed kills.
I want to talk about, you know, having a real veteran presence in the locker room. You know, I know you had Musa Muhammad in your position group. You know, right now, Jalen Johnson's a guy who the Bears coveted to bring back because he was such a great mentor to the young guys like Tyreek Stevenson and Terrell Smith, two guys they drafted in the secondary last year. You know, talk about how Musa Muhammad really helped aid in your development as a receiver, but also aided in your development in terms of being a pro.
Man, Moose was great. It's great to have a veteran presence in the locker room. Before Moose got there, it was we had David Terrell, and he was still fairly young at the time, so it wasn't really like a veteran presence there. And then after David, we had Marty Booker come in, and that was a nice veteran to have and to learn from. But he was in and he was out quickly, so it wasn't really a time where I could really like seek in and really, you know, try to soak up some knowledge from him. Moose was there for a while, so I was able to really link up, and Moose really kind of like kept me sane. He kept me sane for real, because you know how it is coming in from college. You're top notch. You're the dog. You're the shit. Whatever you want to call it. And you get to the league, and it's like, what the hell? I'm better than this person. I'm not playing. What's going on? Why is they doing this? Why are they drafting this person? I've been busting my ass. I've been balling here. They putting this person over me. What's going on? I've been doing this, whatever it is, all the excuses, all the whatever, all the adversity you can bring up and talk about. But the reason I like having Moose around and a veteran present in that locker room is because he was able to calm me down and keep me level headed a lot. Bernard, don't worry about it. This is how it's run. This is the business of the NFL. This is how it is. Go out there and make sure you handle your situations that you can control. Control that. Go out there and do your thing, and that everything else will speak for itself, and everything else will play out the way you want it to play out. But like having his presence there and being there and be able to keep me level-headed constantly, because there was a lot of frustrations, like we were talking about with all the quarterback carousel going on. It was frustration beyond frustration going on, and being young and trying to get to free agency. Like there's a whole lot of things. Like I want to feed my family. I want to retire. I want to make sure. There's a whole lot of things going on. So Moose was that veteran presence. Every locker room, every position definitely needs, and it is definitely pivotal.
Hey, B-Twice, you know, I'm still mad at you, though. You left us and went to Minnesota. I'm always going to be mad at you.
I heard it in the intro. I could feel it in the intro.
You always be my guy. Like, don't get me wrong. B-Twice, that's my guy. Really? That's my, you know, he can, anything he needs, I got him. But, hey, it hurts when you have, like, a poor locker room and you become real close with guys. You form that brotherhood. And, you know, B-Twice, we live in the same neighborhood. A lot of us live, you know, right around the corner. And when he told us he was going to Minnesota, that hurt to the core. I was really mad at him. I was like, I ain't talking to him no more. Delete his number out of my phone. I was hot, man. Yeah. I knew you had to do what you had to do, man. And you know, we were proud of you. We were happy for you. But selfishly, when you have such a great teammate like Bernard was and a great player, you know, leaving your team, you know you're going to lose, you know, a brother. Going to lose that production, but you also lose a friend. So, you know, a lot of us, we felt some kind of way, but, you know, seeing Bernard go to Minnesota and be productive and really get the payday that he deserved, you know, it was a blessing to see that happen to him. So I'm still bitter, but I'm proud of you. I was proud of you at the same time.
No, what was it like? What was it like coming back and playing against that defense, knowing that most of the people in that locker room probably was mad at you that you left?
Yeah, it was interesting coming back. I was over there like I was just making sure that they didn't try to catch me sleeping. And really crack one and getting crack one on me because I know Wale got me once at Minnesota. He got me that I felt that one. Wale got me, and then in Chicago, Lance almost got me down by the end zone. I just barely moved out the way, or actually, I didn't move out the way. I hit the ground because he was coming. I saw Lance was on his way, and he was buckling up. So I was like, let me hit this ground real quick. But, it was great. It was a good time. I really didn't want to leave Chicago. It was just the numbers, the guaranteed money. Yeah. It was too big of a difference, and it pushed me away because it was pretty much the same situation. He had good running backs, good running game. He had a great defense. They had a great defense. It was just a quarterback situation that was going on. So when it came to the disparity in guaranteed money, I was like, damn it. My agent at the time, he was like, you're not going to get that back. He's like, you're not going to make that back. And then I was looking at my age at the time going into free agency. I was like, I'm only going to have – I might get a chance for another free agency contract. So we'll see. But I didn't want to gamble on that. I was already too old. So I went with Minnesota. So we played it out there.
Now, how was dealing with it? I mean, like Saquon Barkley's dealing with that, right? How is it dealing with, like – an entire fan base that had loved you for 4 years, you go to one of our rivals in the division and now they all turn on you. How do you emotionally deal with it? Because Chicago probably not going to go as hard on you going to Minnesota as New York is going to go on him going to Philly.
Yeah, I feel you on that. No, man, it's funny. It's funny actually talking about it because the first thing you guys are talking about, Tommy told me was like, damn it, Bernard, traitor. But so... That's coming from Tommy. My family, my older brother is a Bears fan. So I got it from him. Like, I can't believe you. What the hell going on? Yeah, my brother's is a Bears fan. He's diehard too. So, I mean, when it comes to the history, I mean, anybody all the way back, he'll bring up some type of knowledge about some type of stat about Chicago Bear history. But just trying to get back by him and getting over him talking about, because I mean it was daily after day. I wake up, look at my phone, see a text, traitor. 3 weeks later, I wake up, see another text. I can't believe you made that decision. Something like that. But he was roasting me though. He was killing me for a long time.
That's because you went over there and was balling still. You still put up now. You was cooking in Minnesota.
Yeah. It made it even worse. Like, I mean, me and B, we talked about this at the Minnesota game. You know, Bernard was there. He was like, I give him credit. He was on the Bears sideline first, and then he went to the Minnesota Vikings sideline before the game. And, you know, we were talking about a play in which – I'm not going to name the player's name, but, like, one-on-one coverage, and Bernard was like an 80-yard touchdown bomb, and I'm like, damn, that's how you're going to do us like that? Like, I'm not going to name the player's name because I don't know he's going to be mad at me. He's going to call
me. He's going to get mad at you. Why are you talking about this all the time?
It wouldn't be me if I didn't make jokes and bring it up, man.
Yeah, it wouldn't be us though. You wouldn't be you too either. That's what I said. Right. That's one of that. That was one of the things like I missed about it. Like we had a great locker room in Chicago in Minnesota too, but it was. We always talk about it. Some of my Minnesota friends, he's like, which locker room was better? I was like, oh, it's close. I was like, we had a great time. We were close in Minnesota, but I was like, the stuff we did in Chicago was hella fun. I had a really really good time and like. Even if we weren't doing anything, it was still just a great time cracking jokes and just being in the locker room, you know, just being guys and fellowshipping.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got to ask you about a name that has popped up on the market because I want to get the wide receiver insight on it. Today, Mike Williams was cut by the Los Angeles Chargers and somebody who's dealt with a little bit of injury. They needed to get under the cap. They feel like, you know, maybe with the young boy that they brought in there, and Quentin Johnston, he's going to have a step up. Yeah, you're going to have a little bit of growth there. Would Mike Williams be somebody that you would like the Chicago Bears to go out and get, knowing the injury history that comes with it, but knowing when he is on the field, he's a problem?
He is a problem on the field. That is true. It's just keeping him on the field. That's the thing. Like, it's hard to make a team. Like you all know all this old sayings. It's hard to make a team in the training table. Like on the training table, you can't do it. And as sometimes as much as that production is, like I feel like I guess I'm gonna need like Devontae type production for as much as he's on the training table. You know what I mean? To make that trade, because this is free agency, so you're gonna have to you might have to pay a little bit, you know, to get out. Because usually to get a player to come over and make that decision to change, you might have to pay him a little bit. But his market might be a little bit lower because of the injury. So it's that give and take game. That game you want to play? Do you want to play with it? But for me personally, I don't think I would go with Mike. I think we got better options out there and better people available with to do, especially through the draft. There's a lot of young receivers in the draft that are already going, and you're not gonna have to pay as much as well too. There's a lot. This draft is loaded with receivers. So
no, for sure. I mean, go ahead, J. Pat.
No, go ahead, Pat. You got another question.
I was going to say, well, that brings us to our Road to the Draft moment brought to you by Toyota. Let's Go Places. This is a segment that we do sponsored by Toyota. And right now we get the special opportunity to give B2 a raise. You get to be the GM.
A free Toyota.
Oh, no, we don't give not that level of raise. We give you a hypothetical raise where we make you the GM for the next 5 minutes of the show. You're on the clock. When you look at this draft right now, let's say we can't get the MHJ, because I think that's the clear-cut number one. Who's the best wide receiver in the draft that you would love to see the Chicago Bears come away with?
Either what's his boy? Is it Daniels from LSU?
The quarterback, Jaden Daniels? Are you talking about Malik Nabers?
Oh, Malik Nabers, yeah. It's either Nabers or Dunze for me.
Yeah, they both got some tape. What about their game? Have you seen that you're like, hey, that's a dog right there? He pro ready, or he'll be able to get pro ready.
Yeah, for one, their size is really nice. They attack the ball. They're hand catchers, and they do something with the ball after the catch too as well. Like, it's hard to bring those guys down. They're quicker. They're fast. They get up and down the field, so you don't have to worry about top end speed or anything like that. But they go out there and they make plays. Like, they put their teams in good situations. Whenever their names are called, they make the play. You can count on them. They're true bona fide number ones, if not definitely number twos going out the gate. And I don't see them not being who they were in college. You know what I mean? Sometimes it translates coming from college to NFL. Some people's games don't translate over. And you're wondering, well, what the hell happened? Like, he was such a ball in college, or what happened? Yeah. Sometimes some people's games don't translate over, and I don't see that happening with those guys.
If I was asked you, B, twice, to build your perfect wide receiver, and I'll give you the criteria. So let's talk about it in terms of hands. Let's talk about it in terms of route running and toughness, you know, being able to make contested catches, being able to catch the ball over the middle. You know, who would make up, you know, your perfect wide receiver based upon those categories?
So if we're going to go hands, I'm going to go with Fitzgerald, Larry.
That's great. Larry Fitz. Yeah.
Physical size, I'm going with Megatron. Stupid.
That's how big he was. Everybody just laughs when you talk about Megatron size. You just go,
if it was big. Speed, it's either Moss or I don't know. I might have to say with just Moss on that, because Moss is
Tyreek. Any Tyreek love in there?
I think Moss will get Tyreek still.
Ooh,
I think he would. I like it. Well, Moss got that
shot. Yeah, I seen Moss at his old age when I was in Minnesota, and I'm like, boy, he picks him up and puts him down. Like, it's something serious. I'm like, this dude old and he's still moving like this. But I'm gonna toughness and all that. I might have to say I like T.O., but I might probably have to go with Percy Harvin on toughness. That little dude right there is something else.
Little underdog in that one.
That little dude right there is something else.
Harvin was not scared enough.
Tell you what, playing with him, like, is you get to really see it all. Like, he did some stuff for you really be like, okay. It really make you shit. Like, all right. What else?
About route running?
Oh, yeah, route running. That's the most important one. Route running, I'm going to have to go with right now, I like Keenan Allen.
Oh, okay. Not a bad name.
I like Keenan Allen right now with route running. Him or Stephon Diggs for sure.
DeeTay the one for me, dog. Hey, you know what? I give you a sleeper. Hunter Renfro.
Hunter does got some routes.
Okay. Hunter a little sleeper, but
Terry McLaurin's got some routes.
Scary Terry, a problem.
Yeah. What's a old boy from the Jets too? Garrett Wilson.
Nice. Yep.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson's a problem.
He nice too.
What's the biggest difference that you see? I feel like we see it more now where every team, even some of the teams that we look at and we like, man, you kind of weak, but I like that dude right there. Right. What do you think has become the biggest difference in seeing so many wide receivers have this elite ability?
I think it's the way the game is going now, the way the game has been evolving. It's a lot easier to play receiver now. Like you don't have to really worry about, you know, getting your head taken off over the middle as much as you did before. Now, like defensive players, you know, you got to worry if that ching ching coming and, you know, I got to let this player fall, like hit the ground. I can't hit it because he's defenseless right now. Like, so it's kind of easier to get off a little bit. And just the way the game, like you said, the way the game is evolving too, is, you know, the running back is being devalued. The running back's not getting used as much as previous years before. So we're kind of moving to a little bit smaller game. It's been shifting to a smaller game and more receivers are being used. So it's a little bit easier to feel to get off now. You don't have to be the big typical 6'3", you know, 200-pound receiver. You can be little guys because you're being used so much. And that's, I think that's just the way the game's evolving right now. And I don't think there's too much of a disparity besides that.
Yeah. No, man, I love it. I think there's some the game is moving in the right direction, and hopefully the Chicago Bears are moving in the right direction as well. Bernard, we appreciate you coming on the show. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy day and rocking with us. Before you go, I got to ask you this. What's your favorite Jason McKee story?
Ooh.
Hey, he was waiting on it. Hold on. He said, oh.
I don't know where you were going with that.
No, I ain't going to get you in trouble. I'm gonna talk about the play. The I love all the booms for one, but I'm just gonna talk about the play where I can't remember who we were playing, but you busted old boy's helmet off. Remember that game?
St. Louis. That was Monday night. The Rams.
There we go. That game. I remember that game. You busted old boy's helmet off, and just your reaction after that was hilarious. And I remember just the way we were talking about it. I got it on video too. He went and ran up to it. It was pointing at his still carrying the ball, bro. I was weak. You got me weak on that one. But I just keep talking about it forever too. It was funny.
I'm going to tell
the hell out of dude.
Since you brought up the booms, I'm going to bring up a story. And it's just about how, you know, we kept each other accountable, Pat. And, you know, our room, we kept each other accountable, you know, in practice watching film, right? So in practice, anytime anybody dropped the ball, right, everybody is yelling, boom, boom, like, boom, 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 boom. And that's like, a boom is like a grenade hit your hands. It blew your hands off. You know what I'm saying? And you didn't want to be that guy that had a boom, like watching practice film, because you knew it was coming up. And you knew the coaches, all the position groups, hell, even if T Med was in there, he might boom you. You know what
I'm saying? He might boom you.
So that's how we kept each other accountable. We didn't want to be that guy to get boomed that day. So, you know, that made us really focus, really lock in at our craft and our fundamentals, and that's just a fun way we kept each other accountable to what we were doing on a daily basis.
My favorite thing in the world is J Mac doing the T Med voice. What's the T Med boom sound like, J Mac? What's the T Med boom?
I'll tell you what, T-Man is just, man, he was, as Bernard, he would not let you, like, take your jersey, take any equipment.
Hey, what's up, bro?
Hey, Don't step for me now.
T-Man, man. T-Man
was cool. Hey, J-Man, we got to get T-Man on the show. I ain't going to lie to you. As much as we talk about T-Man on this one, we got to get him on the pod.
You know, the funny thing is, you know what they used to do to T-Med? And Bernard, you're probably guilty of this too. I'm going to call you out. So whenever like the punt returners or the kickoff returners were catching punts or like, you know, fielding kickoff return. So you know what they would do, Pat? Now, T-Med is not the, the tallest of stature. T-Med is probably about a good solid, what's a good solid 5'5"? I mean, it's, you know, T-Man, like, he's not that tall. So what they would do is, Pat, if they were catching punts or kickoffs, they would catch the ball and they would throw it back to T-Man, right? But they used to throw the ball so high that where T-Man had to try to adjust and catch it.
I was definitely guilty of it. Oh, my God.
Y'all wild for that one. I'm not going to lie to y'all.
Sometimes you gotta mess with little people. You gotta have your fun out there. Man. It was hilarious. Like it's just like what Dan Mack was talking about, like just holding each other accountability with the booms. Like it was, it's hilarious stuff just like that that kept us in line to make sure, you know, you stay on top of your job. We're having fun out here, but you better stay on top of your job. Like just little things like that. Like I loved it. That's why I said I love being about Chicago. I didn't really want to leave because it was really a great time. Really, really true.
Man, we loved having you here in Chicago. You were one of my favorite Bears growing up. I'm almost 900% certain back when I was a medium, I had your jersey.
Did you use me on Madden?
Huh?
Did you use me on Madden?
Oh, yeah, dog. For sure. I moved you around, dog. Yeah. Like, bro, when I tell you this, see, this, now we're getting into Madden now. See, now I'm not a nerd get to come out. You and Devin were two of the players that had that rare ability to where when they started letting you, like, move positions around, was everywhere, bro. You was everywhere. I had you running Wildcat, dog. I had you. Devin was – you was running Wildcat. Devin was running back.
That's hilarious.
Who you going to – I mean, what you going to do? The blocking was a little shaky on that play.
Pick your poison.
You took out T. Jones and put Devin back there, man? Man, that's – T. Jones. He's not even want to come back on the show no more.
No, because Devin was one of the few people in Madden that had 100 speed. I think he's one of, like, three people in history that had 100 speed. So when I tell you it was one of the dumbest pitch plays you've ever seen in your life, you could pitch it back to Devin – and it shouldn't have been able to get through. And he just, boom. He'd be like, oh, well, I guess I'm winning this game. Like, and Muzz would sit there and be, it got to a point, my brother was like, you can't have the Bears.
Yeah.
Because on top of that, I also got the defense.
Yeah.
So you're not scoring.
Not scoring at all.
You're not scoring no points. So, like, I got the defense, and I'm sitting here cheating, moving mugs all around. I got stupid with Madden with y'all, bro. Yes, I used your own Madden. That's
I didn't play. I wasn't a big man player. I watched everything.
No, shoot. You wasn't in the room. I heard y'all used to have a room lit with Madden.
Oh, I was just in the room, I was spectating. Yay, go.
Yeah, I told
you. You was mad when Muzz was using you wrong?
Yep.
Now, you know I don't run that route. Why you put me on that?
You know you don't do that.
Hey, I was telling Pat how you know, after the Super Bowl, we got that game room. They finally, remember, they built us that game room.
Oh, yeah.
And I was telling them the game room, they had all the consoles in there, and everybody was always late to meeting because they're playing Madden against each other. Lovey used to be on 10. He used to be so mad. Guys coming to meetings late from playing the game.
Playing video games.
Hey, man. I love when we have one of your teammates on, J-Mac, because the camaraderie still bleeds through to this day. Let's hope that we get a Bears team that can do that same thing. Bernard, appreciate you coming on to the show. Appreciate you rocking with us. And we hope to have you back on here, hopefully, as the Bears are winning during the season.
Yes, all love, my guys. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, J-Mac. Pat, for sure. Hey, anytime you guys need me back on again, you know, I'll be on there for sure anytime. So.
Yes, sir. Much love, brother. Much love and blessings to you and the family, man. Keep doing what you're doing. But before we let you go, tell all the Bears fans where they can find you on your social media and where they can follow you and keep up with you.
So, yes, at Bernard Berrien on Instagram and Facebook, as well as LinkedIn, too. You can find me at Bernard Berrien on all three social media platforms. Financial literacy. I also do private training as well, too. If you're in the Fresno area, I do private training for you as well, too. So just look me up, catch me out. I'm doing something, usually doing something. I'm always involved with something.
Love to hear it, man. For Bernard Berrien and Jason McKee, I'm Pat the Designer. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Big Bad Don. Hey, Ryan, a receiver like that would be cool. Just a receiver like that. That'd be cool. Peace.